August 23rd, and I'm probably sure you might have remembered. I remember very powerfully. I was on my way to Wynyard, 8:45, catching a quick train from Burwood to Wynyard, which would normally take 15 minutes. But on that day, things just went amok. What was supposed to be a 15-minute train run eventually took 2 hours. 2 hours. Why? A broken train on the line. It was crazy, and I think a lot of people said that this is not how things should be. I hated it. I had meetings, so I had to put a lot of things back. But the reality is that life is often like that. Life is often like that. There are a lot of times where things don't seem to work out. We're going through a series on the book of Ecclesiastes. And what is Ecclesiastes? It is a journey through the maze of life. It is following Solomon, King Solomon. He stops, or at least slows down, to see with his naked eye what is actually around him. And he writes down all his observations and reflections in what we now call Ecclesiastes. It is a very interesting book, because it is a book not you can't really argue with, because this is what he actually sees with his naked eye. And from his observations, he offers, therefore, reflections. And these observations are reflections, right? Are things which he offers to us. And can I say these are things which we often fail to see? Why is it that we fail to see? Because we're often too busy. We often bury our heads in the sand, bury our heads in the books, in our work, in our movies, for some people in drink. He sees things which we often don't see. Not because he's more clever than us, but simply because he has had to give himself the time and taken the courage to stop and look. See, the problem for most of us, and I say stress most of us, is that we are not prepared to face up to reality. We are not prepared to face up to reality. Often because we are so busy. Hear the words of what Gladys said, that we are so busy, but we need to be still. But that's our problem. We're so busy. The world is changing around us and we don't see. But I think even more fundamental than that, more basic, is that we're cowardly. We are not prepared to face up to what the reality, what life is really all about. Which is why Ecclesiastes is so, so important for us. Because Solomon, if you dare to read what Solomon sees, Solomon is doing us a favour. He is actually seeing the world, we're actually seeing the world through what he sees, and we're hearing his reflections. So we're continuing on this journey. And today we're looking at Ecclesiastes chapter 7 to 10. Not just 7, but 7 to 10. And when you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7 to 10, what do you see? Well, firstly, we see a world of order. There are things which Solomon sees where things actually neatly fit together, like a jigsaw puzzle. But he also sees a world of disorder, contradictions. On the one hand, he sees order, but then sees disorder. Life sometimes doesn't make sense. But on the other hand, he also sees a world that is filled with death. And if we stop and really think about it, death really makes a nonsense of all that we do. These are the three things which he sees. He sees. Order, disorder, and death. And all this raises the question, well, what is life all about? Well, let's continue on this journey with Solomon and see the things that he sees. reflect on the things that he reflects. Order. Have a look at what he sees. He sees a world that is orderly. A world where things do fit together nicely. He sees a world where if you do this, you can be guaranteed that this is the result. Have a look at some of the things which he sees. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 19. Wisdom makes one person more powerful than 10 rulers in a city. The power of wisdom. And I think we can see that. We see that happening in a world where wise people have been able to achieve much and conquer many things. Listen to what else he sees. Whoever obeys his command will come to know him. That is the command of the king. And the wise heart will know the proper time and procedure. That's true, isn't it? Wisdom is about knowing the proper time and the proper procedure, how things should be done. Have a look at Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. Enjoy life with your wife, whom you love, all the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun, all your meaningless days. For this is your lot in life and in your toilsome labor under the sun. Whatever your hand finds, do it. Do it with all your might. For in the realm of the dead, where you are not going, there is neither work nor planning nor knowledge nor wisdom. What is Solomon saying? Well, in this orderly world, just enjoy life. That is what he's saying. Enjoy life. Don't worry too much about the problems of the world. Just get on with living. And there is a positive note here, as he says there. Enjoy life with your wife, whom you love. Listen to what else he says. As dead flies give perfume a bad smell, so a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. Again, there's something predictable about that, something commonsensical about that. Something stupid can undo a lot of good things that you have done. We know that from experience, don't we? The heart of the wise inclines to the right, but the heart of the fool to the left. There is a very vast difference between the wise person who does this, goes this direction, and you can tell the fool he goes in a completely opposite direction. Words from the mouth of the wise are gracious, but fools are consumed by their own lips. Have you seen that in your own experience? At the beginning, their words are folly. At their end, they are wicked madness, and fools multiply words. You can often see the truth about that, isn't it? Fools just talk, 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 and in the end, all that talk goes nowhere, and in the end, worse still, it just brings them to ruin. And so when you look at life, yeah, you say, yeah, that makes sense. That's obvious, that's how life should work. It's like 1 + 1 = 2. This is what life is, and when your life runs like that, life is good. When life is like that, then I know how to live. I know how to live. I know how to educate our children. Work hard and you'll be successful in life. You be lazy and you will bring ruin to your life. You act like an idiot and you'll bring untold grief into your life. The world seems, as Solomon looks at it, run on a sort of karma. What goes around comes around. You get what you deserve. Good people get good things. Bad people get bad things. This is what Solomon seems. This is what Solomon sees. And I would suspect that that's what we see as well. But nice as it might be, if we have the courage and we give ourselves the time we discover that life is not so simple. We discover that life doesn't fit together so neatly. And we discover, to our, you could say, surprise or whatever, there is a contradiction in life, a vast contradiction. Solomon looks around and he sees things just don't make sense. Listen to some of his observations. In this meaningless life of mine, I've seen both of these. The righteous perishing in their righteousness. Now that doesn't make sense. That is a contradiction. And the wicked living long in their wickedness. That doesn't make sense. But that is what Solomon sees. That's what he sees. He doesn't make this up. It's just what he sees. Or listen to this one. There is something else meaningless that occurs on earth. The righteous who get what the wicked deserve, and the wicked who get what the righteous deserves. This too, I say, is meaningless. And if you pause for a moment, if you give yourself the time to do what Solomon did, and that is to look around, you will discover, yes, Solomon's right. Look at what else he sees. So I reflect on all this and concluded that the righteous and the wise in what they do are in the hand, in God's hands, but no one knows whether love or hate awaits them. Now listen to what Solomon is reflecting here. You can be wise, who seeks to do the right thing. You can be righteous, who does the right thing before God. You know that your life is in God's hands, but here's the funny thing. You still don't know whether love or hate waits you. That is to say, you can do the right thing, pray all you like, and do the right thing by God, but blessing can be in the future or tragedy. That is Solomon's reflections. You see, we think that if I do the right thing and obey God, pray hard, then my future should be a bed of roses. And Solomon says, no, that's wrong. That is wrong. It's not how life works. Listen to what else he says. All share in a common destiny. Not the word all. The righteous and the wicked, the good and the bad, the clean and the unclean. Those who offer sacrifices and those who do not. As it is with the good, so it is with the sinful. As it is with those who take oaths, so with those who are afraid to take them. This is the evil in everything that happens under the sun. Note the phrase, the same destiny overtakes all. The heart of people, moreover, are full of evil, and there's madness in their hearts while they live, and afterward they join the dead. Hear what Solomon's saying? Every one of us shares a common destiny. The righteous and the wicked. And as far as Solomon's concerned, this is the evil in everything that happens under the sun. It's crazy. It doesn't make sense. And if it doesn't make sense, listen to what else Solomon has saw. I've seen something else under the sun. Since I've seen, the race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned, but time and chance happen to them all. Moreover, no one knows when their hour will come, as fish are caught in a cruel net, or birds are taken in a snare, so people are trapped by evil times that fall unexpectedly upon them. You hear what Solomon's saying? This is what I've seen. You can practice and practice till perfection. You can study and study, read and read to make you the best of the best. But you know what I've seen? This is what I've seen. I've seen a sickness undo all that. An accident, a freak accident, can suddenly undo everything you have labored for so many years. You see, we think we are the masters of our future. We have to take control. And Solomon's saying, baloney. That's absolute rubbish. Because what does Solomon see in his own experience? And I think if you were courageous enough and gave yourself the time, you would see exactly the same thing. That the race is not to the swift. The battle does not always go to the strong. And the food does not always come to those who are wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned. But what happens? Time and chance happens to all of us. And we are caught in unexpected times that all the preparation never prepared us for. Take this other passage, which Solomon has also seen in his journey. There is an evil under the sun, the sort of error that arises from a ruler. Fools are put in high places, while the rich occupy low places. I've seen slaves on horseback, while princes go on foot like slaves. There's a contradiction, isn't it? Whoever digs a pit may fall into it. Whoever breaks through a wall may be bitten by a snake. Whoever quarries stones may be injured by them. Whoever splits logs may be endangered by them. And what is he saying? For all the hard work you do, it might actually bring you more harm than good. And again, this is not his philosophical reflections. This is just what he sees. This is what he sees. There are many, many times when things don't make sense. Life is seemingly chaotic. If we again pause for a moment, we can even think of friends. I have a friend in Singapore. He's a pastor. He spent a lot of time praying and seeking God's will about whether he should go to America to study, and he felt God was leading him there. When he landed in America, not long, he contracted a disease which almost took his life. Now, where did that come from? We had a young man here many years ago who was training to be a personal life coach. He was into gym, exercising, weightlifting, very strong, muscular person. Some of us know him. But not long afterwards, he contracted a very rare condition, vertigo, serious. Now he is literally bedridden, 24/7. No cure. Where did that come from? He worked hard, didn't take drugs, drink, tried to live the good Christian life, so to speak. I remember one man, Alex, we know Alex, some of us know Alex, and what the camera's for, who I was meeting in a men's meeting once, a committee meeting, planning our next move for the men's ministry. A few days later, I get a message that he's in ICU, and now he's in a nursing home, 24/7 care. Was that expected? Absolutely not. Or take this one. May 2003, UK woman died in a truly bizarre incident. She was visiting a friend, milling around in the kitchen. She lost her balance on the wet floor. Unfortunately, her fall was broken by an open dishwasher door that had several knives pointing upwards. She was stabbed in impact and died. Or this one. 2007, Oklahoma young man was walking with his wife. On the opposite side of the road, there was a SUV that backed into a fire hydrant accidentally. The force of that impact dislodged the fire hydrant, and it was so it was propelled and became like a flying projectile and hit him in the head, and he died on impact. 200 pounds. Taco Bell. 49-year-old Diana Dure. She was just sitting in her car, just waiting to get a taco, and then suddenly the 65-foot sign just falls and crushes the car. She was just there, just buying a Taco Bell. 1999, a PE teacher, they were doing sports, he was going to collect the javelin. As he was going to collect the javelin, he accidentally lost his footing and actually tripped and got speared in the eye. You see, things like this happen. They are freakish accidents. We cried out that this is wrong. Things like this should not happen. But the fact of the matter is that they do happen. And this is what Solomon sees. We live in a world of disorder. This is the real world. It's a world of order and of disorder. But lastly, Solomon also sees something else. What does he see? He sees death. The reality of death. Death is all around us. Now, I think we spend a lot of time trying to hide from this reality. But Solomon will not do that. Solomon wants to face the reality square in the face. He wants to see what's actually out there. Order, disorder, and death. And what does he see about death? A good name is better than fine perfume in the day of death, better than the day of birth. That's a very strange reflection, isn't it? That's actually the day of death is better than the day of birth. It's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for death is the destiny of everyone. The living should take this to heart. You are living. Take heart to this reflection of his. Frustration is better than laughter because a sad face is good for the heart. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of pleasure. And this is crazy when you think about it, isn't it? We think that birthdays and parties are what life is all about. Color, fun, enjoyment. And we long for those days, we celebrate those days, but not funerals and wakes. And yet what does Solomon say when he did a massive reality check? Where's the best place to be in to understand what life is really all about? It's not in a party. It's in a funeral home. It's not in a beach. It's in a nursing home. Because when you actually face reality square in the face, then you begin to know how to live. Listen to what he says. So I reflected on this, another word reflected, and concluded that the righteous and the wise and what they do in God's hands, but no one knows where the love awaits. And notice again what he says there. All share a common destiny. And notice what else, because this is what he says. This is the evil that he sees in the world. That happens under the sun. The same destiny awaits us all. Death is all around us. I want to try an exercise with you, if you will. I want to try a simple exercise, right? I'm going to sort of throw something up on the screen, right? And what I want you to say with, and I want you to repeat what you see on the screen. All right? Will you do that? I'm going to throw a phrase on the screen, and I want you to repeat what you see on the screen. Let me get this up in a moment, all right? Are we all ready? Okay. Repeat after me. I might die tomorrow. Let's all say it aloud. I might die tomorrow. If you think about it, it's actually a hard phrase to say, isn't it? I might die tomorrow. It's a very disturbing thing to say. It's okay to say we might, you know, if I die, and we use the big word if. But it's a very unsettling. I'm going to show you something else on the screen. And I want you to repeat this after me. Ready? One, two, three. I will die tomorrow. It's a bit of a giggle in the congregation. And you know why? Because it's unsettling. It's a way we deal with this reality called death. At work one day, we were just milling around doing our work, and there was a very eerie sound that went past the floor, the window outside. And we discovered that on our 14th floor, someone climbed to the very top and just jumped down. And there was an eerie silence. People didn't know what to do. That eerie silence was broken by what? A joke. It's the only way people know how to deal with reality, just to make a joke of it. But Solomon will not do that. Because as far as Solomon is concerned, here is one reality that we have to all come to grips with. And that is that we will all die. You see, unlike Solomon who had the courage to look at life realistically, we like to bury our heads in the sand. You know, it's interesting, I often say to people, you know, I might go to glory soon. And people's response to me says, no, you're not. You've got so much work to do here in for the Lord here on earth. But what are they actually saying? We're trying to deny the reality that I might go. I might, in fact, die tomorrow. I might die in the week. And for someone to say, no, you can't, you've got a lot of the Lord's work to do here, is in many ways to deny the reality of the world. Death is all around us. How do we deal with this reality of death? People in the history have tried to come to face with it. Listen to some of the responses here. To the well-organized mind, death is but the next great adventure. J.K. Rowling. And what is she actually trying to say to try to pacify the pain of death? To make it normal. To make it palatable. Or what about this one? Death is not the opposite of life, but a part of it. We know that. But what this person is trying to say is that it's good. No one is actually dead until the ripples they cause in the world die away. And that is to say we still live on in the lives of other people. We still live on in the lives of people. For life and death are one, even as the river and the sea are one. But listen to what one other person said about death. Your brother will rise again. When Jesus was at a funeral, a place of mourning, he didn't try to pacify them and change their way to talk about, oh, he'll live in your hearts. He said, your brother will rise again. Because he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And what is Jesus saying here? That Jesus has beaten death. He hasn't tried to change the way we think about it. He's actually conquered death. That those who believe in him may only sleep, but he will actually rise again. And how do we know that? Because Jesus himself, who faced reality square in the face, who saw the order, the disorder, and ultimately the hard reality of death itself, he himself has risen from the dead, has conquered death. And those who believe in him will rise again from the dead, and they are given new life. And so what does Jesus offer to all those who come to him? Jesus gives them new life, filled with meaning, purpose, and joy. And that's astonishing, because those are the things that our people are looking for: meaning, purpose, and joy. But when they look around, they cannot find meaning, they cannot find purpose, and they cannot find joy because they are looking at life around them. But Jesus says, when you look to me and believe in me, then you'll begin to find meaning, purpose, and joy. Because Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus has beaten death. Whoever believes in me, though he died, yet shall he live. And whoever believes in, who lives and believes in me, shall never die, because Jesus will raise him from the dead. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father, that Jesus has risen from the dead. And in this world of order and disorder and death, where life doesn't seem to make sense, where there doesn't seem to be meaning and purpose, but just simply confusion and chaos and despair, we give you thanks that it's in the death of your Son and in his resurrection that we can find true meaning and true purpose and true joy. Help us to continue not to look around for meaning and purpose, but to look to him for meaning and purpose and joy. Amen.